Hola, hola. Welcome to El Calentón. This is a Latinx podcast about current issues, news, culture, music, food, and politics. Estos son nuestros hot takes, mi gente. Some episodes, like this one, will be for all of you, pero otros will be exclusive to mi gente members. So if you are not a mi gente member yet, subscribe today at mijente.net/join. Also, don't forget to follow us, @conmigente. My name is Ali. I'm a content creator with Mi Gente, y soy parte de esta corilla que está en este podcast. And I'm more than excited to share the microphone with Cynthia Rodriguez y Jorge Gutiérrez. ¿Desde dónde nos visitan, compañeros?
Hello, hello, hello. Jorge Gutiérrez, your membership director, joining today from gloomy and rainy Los Angeles. It's been raining again, and it's going to rain for a couple of days. So, You know, as Angelinos, we don't know how to act when it's raining.
How do you call yourself? Angelinos.
Angelinos.
Angelinos. Ay, qué chulo.
Right.
And I'm Cynthia. I got excited. It's good to be back. Como dice la canción. It's good to be back, homies. I'm Cynthia Rodriguez, national organizer based out of Chicago, where it's finally light outside past 5. So, you know, people are starting to wake up and come out of their caves.
Is it still freezing over there right now?
No.
Nice.
Bueno, bajo tus estándares, Cynthia, porque de seguro que está frío. Acá en Puerto Rico está caliente, el verdadero calentón. So thank you all for joining, for listening in. Today we will be talking about some immigration news. ¿Qué ha pasado en los últimos meses? Ha pasado muchísimo. Queremos dar contexto. We want to give some political analysis and share qué noticias han sido, ¿verdad?, puestas allá afuera, cómo debemos manejarlas y qué significa para nuestra gente. So, in the first place, sabemos que se está moviendo el first border bill tied to national security. Este border bill tenía extreme language and it failed. It did not pass in the Senate. This so-called border security bill is playing directly into the hands of GOP extremists, with the Biden administration lamentablemente catering to the likes of Abbott, DeSantis, y otros ultraconservadores with anti-immigrant sentiments. Pero muy claramente, pues tampoco pasó el Senado. Y sabemos también que el director de Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, was impeached in the House, but most likely will not get impeached in the Senate. Así que tiran y fallan nuevamente. Y finalmente también vamos a hablar un poquito de lo que está pasando en Texas. Sabemos que Governor Greg Abbott wants to create a military base in Eagle Pass, Texas, and put 2,300 soldiers. He held a press conference, así con todo el National Guard behind him, y dijo que va a ser un base de 80 acres. So we're going to get into it. We're going to discuss what this means. Sabemos que nuestra gente está organizada y es importante que estemos informadas. So, para esto, vamos a tener un poco un interview conversation con nuestra estrella, mi gente's very own policy director, Jacinta González, y Jorge nos va a estar acompañando en esta conversación to dig deeper en todo esto que acabo de mencionar.
Yes, let's welcome Jacinta González, our policy director. Give it up for Jacinta. Woo. There we go. Hi. How are you, Jacinta?
I'm in la fiesta. I'm bummed that it's about bad news, but I'm very happy to be here.
Welcome to El Calentón, Jacinta.
Ya te da calor, ya sientes el calor.
Un poquito porque estoy acá con el frío de Chicago, so it's good to feel a little warm.
Sí. Well, thank you for joining us today. Yeah, and you know, estamos como, todo lo que está pasando con inmigración, you know, ¿cómo le platicamos esto a nuestras tías, tíos, a la señora del mercado? What's happened with this so-called border bill?
Let's start with the border bill, and then we can talk about some of the other headlines. You know, I think after many months of negotiation, you know, Biden and the Democrats were trying to get more money for war, right? More money for all of the invasions internationally that are happening, the genocide that is happening. And in exchange for that, they wanted to exchange what they call border security. But we know that there's nothing about security in terms of this bill. This is actually a lot of laws, a lot of money that would not make us safer in any way, shape, or form. It's just putting more money into the same military-industrial complex, the same deportation industrial complex that has been plaguing our communities for a really long time. So it did not pass, thank goodness. I wish we could say that it's because the Democrats came to save the day and protect us from the bad ideas that the Republicans were putting forth. But actually, it was because Donald Trump and his people were like, no, we need something worse. So, you know, I think the danger here is not that it passed, but it's that this is now the bar for how we have conversations around immigration and the border. And that's something that has to concern all of us, because we all know what's at stake and you know what they're trying to push. So a couple of things to just know that were in the bill that kind of talk about this is, when Trump was in office, he started to implement what they called Title 42. People are like, what's that? It was basically a law that said that they tried to use the COVID crisis, right, to say that people couldn't even come into the country to ask for asylum. And what this proposal did is actually make sure that Border Patrol, the president, would always have that power, that basically cuando quisieran, or when there was a lot of people at the border, they could close it down. And they wouldn't let people come in to ask for asylum, to ask for refuge, to be able to cross over. And they would make it harder to ask for asylum, which, if you've ever been in an immigration proceeding, ya está bien cabrón. O sea, getting asylum is actually one of the hardest things. And they wanted to make it harder and have less judicial review. So you have less rights, they make it harder, it's harder to come in. And some people might say, bueno, pues eso no me importa, because I'm not at the border, yo ya estoy acá, you know, oof. But actually, they also put tons of money into ICE, into Border Patrol, into surveillance, into deportations, into detention. They doubled the detention budget. So all of these ideas, again, are really dangerous because they tie border security to this idea that the only way we can be secure is if we lock more people up or we deport more people. And we know that that's not true, that it's actually when we invest in things that our community needs. So, you know, again, we're safe for now, but now that's the baseline. And I think that's where we have to push back and continue to organize to say that these things are unacceptable.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that breakdown. Yeah, and at the end, it's like, you know, as an organizer, it makes us feel like, damn, this is a scary time. But also, how do we go back to what we know how to do, right? Which is organize, right? And I think that that's like a really important piece to uplift.
El tema de seguridad también me parece súper importante, what you said. ¿Cuál es la conciencia de nuestra comunidad sobre lo que es seguridad y lo que no? Because es el main point, right? Estamos haciendo esto para proteger a las comunidades, para proteger nuestra sociedad, pero ¿de qué? O sea, ¿cómo realmente nuestra gente define seguridad y no es de esa manera? Like, people have demands hace mucho que nos haría sentir mucho más seguro, like having safe housing and affordable housing and healthcare. That makes me feel way more secure, pero para eso no hay fondos, para eso no hay movilidad. So I appreciate you bringing up, ¿verdad? ¿Qué es seguridad para nosotras?
Claro. Y creo que también la oportunidad que tenemos es cómo tenemos esto como comunidad inmigrante, como comunidad descendiente de gente que ha migrado, como gente que recién está llegando, ¿cómo tenemos la misma conversación? Because sometimes I feel like they pit us against each other. Pues, I already was born here, I'm good. Or I came here 20 years ago, I'm good. Or, well, I haven't gotten my papers. So we actually start to realize that it's all connected, right? That all of these communities, that we have to have the same fight, and we can't ignore the conversation around what's happening at the border, because it has a lot of implications for how all of us are living. If one of us has someone who has an ankle shackle on in our home, they're not just spying on that person. They're going to be spying on everybody in that house, right? And so the more that we can have these conversations as a whole community, the more chance we have to be able to build the power we need to, you know, throw them down and actually be able to create a different path forward.
Is that what people talk about when they say that the border extends beyond the physical border, right? That actually the kind of policing that happens at the border is extended into the interior?
Well, yes, I think that's definitely the case. But also sometimes I feel like people just think the border is just like this one line, y son como tres right. pueblitos, but it's 100 miles in. Mm-hmm. So whatever Border Patrol can do to someone who's coming in, they can actually use for most of the United States, all of the airports, all of the ports of entry. So I think it also kind of shifts our framework of like, oh, if Border Patrol has, you know, $2.5 billion for more deportations, are they just going to use it for folks at the border? Or are they also going to use it for, you know, my cousin when he gets picked up for, you know, driving with a, you know, a packet of weed? Oh, shoot, that those things are actually connected and we can't kind of differentiate those, because once they're able to criminalize some of us, they, you know, best believe they're going to try to criminalize more of us.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for all of that. And I know, like, obviously, right, this is the border bill is like a national piece of legislation, but we also know that it's impacting local communities, regionally, statewide, local. So, you know, sort of kind of going to Texas, I know that you've been talking to folks there. What is happening with, you know, the this super anti-immigrant SB4 bill that's about to go into effect, and what's happening with the border in Texas? What can you tell us about that?
I mean, I think I have permission to say that well, there's a lot of things going on in Texas, but you can summarize a lot of it with Pinche Abbott, which I'm proposing be the
hashtag.
Hashtag Pinche Abbott. You know, SB4, there's a lot of anti-immigrant bills that just got passed in the last session of the state legislature in Texas. But for many years now, they've been with this project called Operation Lone Star. And basically what it is criminalization of migrants, right? They've turned a lot of their carceral power, right? A lot of their policing power towards immigrant communities. And so that literally means criminalizing them, right? Giving them criminal charges and putting them in state prison before passing them on to immigration. But now they're also doing all sorts of other kind of political theater, right? To really be pushing the conversation around migration. You know, they're literally having these conversations in court around whether or not what's happening is an invasion, right? And so you can start to see cómo ellos están metiendo la narrativa, el marco, right? The frame that they're using that then changes the national conversation. That's why we have to be talking about national security up in DC, because in Texas, Governor Abbott is pushing this idea of there's an invasion. We need the barbed wire. We need more military power. We need to criminalize. We need more prisons. And then that starts to shape the debate. And so, you know, I think it's not only a question of SB4, it is really also a question of Operation Lone Star. And, you know, that's, again, a question for all of us, because, you know, folks in Texas have been asking President Biden, have been asking the federal government to intervene more. And luckily, they are actually doing some things around, like the Department of Justice está metiendo un poquito de mano, but there's so much more that they could do. And I think that, again, this is why it's not just a fight for folks in Texas. This is actually kind of like where the far right and the Republican Party are trying to take things. And so hay que echar ojo porque para allá va la cosa. And so we have to take lessons around what we're fighting, but also how we can fight against this stuff.
Yeah. I remember reading right like a few weeks ago that Governor Abbott was like, I wish we could do more. I wish we could shoot immigrants, but we can't because the Biden administration would charge us with murder, right? And I think to me that was like, damn. That is how they're feeling. And that's driving all the policies, right? At the border and throughout the state. And like, to me, like that's scary. And for us as organizers and activists, we shouldn't take that lightly at all.
No, we shouldn't take it lightly. And I think as we're looking around internationally too, and looking at the discourse and how far right governments are talking overall, this is the conversation, right? I was having a conversation here with someone who was saying, like, in Chile, that's how they're talking about it too. They're talking about like, what we should do is have the military shoot people who are trying to cross our border. It's an act of war. That's how they're kind of having this conversation. And it's no surprise that ranchers in Texas are precisely asking the government, like, will you protect me if I start to actually just shoot people? And so that is actually, si ha llegado ese extremo y tenemos que reconocerlo, we have to understand that is where the conversation is, and that's how we have to fight back. But, you know, we do have compas in Texas that are fighting the good fight. There's a lot of folks there. There's the We Will Resist campaign that is going on right now in terms of folks that are coming together in Laredo pretty soon, being able to lift up voices, lift up communities. And so this is just really, to me, a call to everyone to be sharing what folks are doing, estén al pendiente in case they need more solidarity, if there's calls to action where we can actually go in and support. Because there's a lot of good work that's happening. Folks have been doing individual deportation cases, have been bonding people out of Operation Lone Star. Folks have been doing a lot of resistance work, and it's just a question of how we can continue to support. Y también ojo, you know, when Governor Abbott just a couple of weeks ago was with doing all of this, he had like 24, 26 governors from across the U.S. Yeah. Saying that it was a state of emergency, que él tenía derecho a hacer lo que estaba haciendo. And so we kind of have to ask ourselves, like, I've only been in a blue state for a couple of years now, but who do we got on our side? And how are we actually starting to organize them to also push back, as well as supporting the folks on the ground that are dealing with the thick of it, right, with some of the heavier stuff? So I think we have to be able to look at it on all sides.
¿A qué, what would we say se debería, verdad? ¿A qué se debe the lack of just like intervention del Biden administration en Texas particularmente?
Creo que es miedo a la política. Creo, I think they've read the border as a weakness. And so this is, the Democrats constantly do this, right? Where there's times when they feel like they have to pander the vote. And so then they talk about immigration reform and helping communities and, you know, their big coalition. And then in moments where the right is actually changing the debate, se van más al centro, se van más a la derecha, and they kind of are oscillating there. So it's an election year and people are reading that. I think they read it as a weakness. And I think that's why we have to continue to organize by any means necessary, right? That means taking the streets or going to the ballot box. But I think we have to send the message that that's not the approach to go, that we actually, there's a different path forward, and that's where we have to continue to put our weight behind.
Yeah. Also, the discourse is so important because no necesariamente todas estas cosas van a pasar, pero el hecho de tener leaders that talk that way and put those messagings, lo vimos con Trump y lo vemos, ¿verdad?, con todos estos políticos that just say las cosas más violentas y desagradables que uno escucha y at the end of the day, ellos no van a vivir los escenarios that they imagine and put out there in the public discourse, sino que los ponen allá afuera para que otra gente lo viva y lo sufra. So, sí, también tenemos un trabajo gigante que hacer with discourse y cómo se está hablando de este tema.
Yeah, and to me, again, this is like where how you define the problem and how you define the solution really matters. You know, when they're constantly saying we have a crisis at the border and we're saying the same words that they're saying, you're perpetuating that language, because then what's the solution? The solution is, you know, when Trump did Title 42, everyone was like, ay, qué extremo. And now they're asking for it to have that power, you know, at all times. When you start to talk about alternatives to detention, right? They're saying alternatives to detention. That's how the Democrats have been talking about it. But really, it's just surveillance and more money for carceral, like big companies. And now, again, that's where they're putting their money. So we also have to kind of like track where the money is, because there's a lot of how that's shaping the politic.
Negocio.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that it's an election year, this rhetoric, right? It activates Trump's base and followers. And I would even say, like, even like, it activates some of our people too, right? Because that's all they're hearing, this crisis at the border, new migrants taking up all the resources, you know, or even like, you know, my mom was like, you know, ay, you know, a nosotros nos tomó tanto tiempo y ellos llegan y luego, and I'm like, you know, so that's sort of where it's also impacting and kind of trickling down to how our folks are seeing this moment, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that conversation within our community has been, I think, one of the most alarming, and one where it's actually very easy for us to make those interventions around having a conversation of like, yeah, but if we're saying that then the solution is deportarnos más rápido o no les den recursos, that's actually limiting it for everybody. And right. So how do we kind of come to this from a place of understanding the bigger picture and helping people put that into perspective around, like, if we could let them divide us, that actually lets them win, because then that kind of divides our community power and our ability to organize for the type of future that we do want.
Yeah.
Well, we just want to thank you, Jacinta, for coming and breaking down all of this for us and our members and the people listening. So thank you so much for joining.
No, thank y'all for having me. And like, again, I feel like y'all invited me for the gloom and doom conversation, but I do feel like there is the silver lining within this is, I think it is waking up people to understanding the full picture and actually getting the migrant rights movement to take a closer look and have a conversation about what it means for border communities and for folks that are migrating and having that perspective. So La lucha sigue. Muchas gracias por tenerme. And we'll see you all soon.
Thank Cuídate. You, Jessica.
Gracias.
That was a lot. That's a lot. So much happening.
Aquí estamos. Aquí estamos.
Yeah.
So take a deep breath.
Yes. I don't
Inhalo,
know.
Exhalo.
And for me, I think what gives me hope is like being in this fight with all of you, knowing that people continue to organize, right? That like that we know that that organizing is always the right strategy. But shifting gears, it's time for our hot take.
Dun, dun, dun. And we're back with El Calentón's hot take. And today we're going to jump over to some other news, but also about organizing. But I have a question. Who here is going to Bad Bunny's Most Wanted tour this year?
Yeah. Ooh, I'm probably not. I don't have tickets.
Yo no quiero hablar mierda, so...
Pero la vas a hablar de todos modos, dale.
Talk your shit, do it.
O sea, es que no quiero decir no voy a ir, because how I feel right now, porque después voy y me cogen allí, and then I have to, like, me tengo que comer lo que hablé. Pero
oh,
no sé.
Look, mira, yo, okay, maybe I'll take mine back. I don't have tickets, pero si me cae un ticket de gratis por ahí,
exacto,
then maybe, you know.
I'm not gonna, no lo voy a forzar. I'm not gonna get in the, sí, sí, in, the sí. in line, en una fila online de tres horas waiting for tickets. No, sí. that's not the
well,
vibe.
While Jorge waits for the Ticketmaster goddesses and while Alice toma un poquito de su propia sopa. You know, in the meantime, Bad Bunny's making his money. You know, by the time this podcast comes out, he will have had his first stop in this new Most Wanted tour, February 21st, to be specific, in Salt Lake City, Utah. So shout out to all of the compas, our members that are tuning in, and our folks that call Utah home. But by the time that this podcast comes out, we're going to be keeping our eyes wide open and trying to do our research to figure out some information about Bad Bunny. And so, one, this is not the first time that we talk about Bad Bunny on this podcast, right? Right?
Right.
We did our episode. Mm-hmm, we did an episode where we discussed the AI track that came out with Bad Bunny and what that means. But today, for our hot take, for our temperature check that we're doing here on El Calentón, we actually want to talk about a campaign that is being put out by our compas at La Resistencia. So let's show some love to La Resistencia in Seattle.
Bravos.
Yes. And so we're supporting our compas at La Resistencia because they've come around information that shows that, en corto, Bad Bunny, his people, his company, his institution is contracting with the same planes that are currently used by ICE to deport people. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, works with companies like Global X that are operating privately, transporting folks that are being deported, and they have no real oversight. And so La Resistencia, and of course we're supporting their call to action, is saying, Bad Bunny, you need to cut ties with this company because this company plays a really tangible role in the deportation of our gente, of community members. And so that's what we're here to discuss in the next few minutes. So again, this is a campaign that's being led by our partner org, our hub in Washington State, La Resistencia, who for years have been fighting to close the Northwest Detention Center. So also shout out to their continued presence, their continued lucha and organizing. And so the compas at La Resistencia have ring the alarm on this. And I want to bring in a quote, actually, from Maru from La Resistencia, who can help us frame this issue as we get into our thermometer checks. So, para que estén listos, listes. But to bring in our compa Maru, Maru said, you know, Bad Bunny has expressed some progressive positions on some issues in the past, such as the political climate in his hometown in Puerto Rico. And people that have that level of power to influence mass culture do have a responsibility to use that platform to support progressive change. So empezamos ahí un poquito sintiendo el termómetro. Se está calentando. And so So that's to get us started. But with all of that said, Ali, Jorge, ¿cómo le entran? What's the temperature check?
Well, I have to say, like, when I first heard about it, yo estaba como, ¿qué jodienda? Otra cosa más para molestarme con Bad Bunny. Just when I was feeling like, no, estábamos reconciliando. Pero sí, o sea, estoy completamente de acuerdo con Maru, and I feel like this ties to the comments we made in the previous episode about celebrities, award mm-hmm, shows, mm-hmm. What is their responsibility with our gente, with the communities that they profit from. Y creo que esto no cambia mi feeling sobre eso. O sea, Bad Bunny es un billonario que tal vez no está al tanto, maybe he doesn't know necessarily, pero he has the responsibility once this is brought to his attention to take action and like mantenerse coherente con las posturas que dice tener and also no fallarle a las personas que lo llevaron hasta este momento. So, yeah, disappointed, not surprised, hoping he takes action y que cancele el Global X contract.
For sure. Yeah, not surprised, right? I think, you know, these big name artists, I think, oftentimes tend to have contracts with these companies that are doing pretty horrible things in the world, right? And so let's hope that once, you know, he does a couple of his stops, maybe, you know, we'll be able to confirm whether he's still using that company or not. And, you know, hopefully it's not. But I think, you know, this campaign has gotten a lot of traction in our social media, right? It's been hot.
Has it now?
On our Instagram. A lot of people commenting, people disagreeing with us, people agreeing with us, and everything in between. And I think that it's a good conversation to be having with our folks. We know that he has a huge base, a huge followers, right? He's one of the top artists in the world right now. And I think artists should have the responsibility to speak on issues. Y pues como todo, I think for me, it's like not a calling out, it's a calling in of like, you know, We're putting this on your radar, Bad Bunny.
Yes.
Esto es lo que está pasando. Por si lo sabes o no lo sabes, now you know. And we hope you do better. Como dicen ahí por ahí que le perdonamos that he dated Kylie Jenner, pero no le podemos perdonar esto, you know? Well, at least for me, right? Yo le perdono que he dated Kylie Jenner, pero esto no se lo perdono.
Ando siempre
¿Con Kylie o con Kendall?
Con Kylie, ¿no? Pues Kylie
Kendall.
Kendall. Kendall, oh, ya me equivoqué yo, güey. Kendall, one of the Kardashian
girls.
Una de esas. Mira, pero, yeah, I mean, it was controversial because it's so hard, especialmente in these times where, like, we want to love things and people and artists and music, and then pasan estas cosas and people feel like they're being, like, criticized directly cuando critican a tu persona. So definitely, like, please go check out the full post because it also has more context and information. Está en Ad Con Mi Gente. Also follow La Resistencia on Instagram. And the comments were very, very intense. No sé si los tenemos por ahí.
Baby, but you know, we want folks to continue to ride with us, to comment, to let us know your thoughts. I will say though, contrary to popular belief, we do not have a direct line to Mr. Bad Bunny. I repeat, we do not have his direct number.
Él está ahí, él vive al lado mío, yo lo llamo ahora, que venga un momentito.
Right, sí, imagine sí. If we had a direct contact.
Ya lo hubiéramos llamado al chat, ya le hubiéramos dicho
right,
oye.
Right.
But I do want to bring in actually some of the comments that folks left. There's actually a few that I think, if I'm not mistaken, might have been deleted, but just to bring in like the general kind of some of the trends and patterns in the comments. You know, some folks were talking about just that, like, why are we posting this without resistencia? Why are we not, why does this read as us canceling Bad Bunny? So we saw some of that. So I'm going to name a couple more and then, you know, want to hear y'all's thoughts. So, you know, some people were one, like, ¿por qué lo están cancelando? That's fucked up. Two, some people were like, ¿qué esperábamos? What did you expect? We're not surprised. So there's some of that. Someone was like, boycott, question mark. And people talking about like this, again, like this difference between like Bad Bunny as the person and Bad Bunny as the institution of like, you know, is it his choice to be riding these airplanes? So, ¿qué piensan de todo esto?
So, de lo primero, I think that it's impossible to cancel Bad Bunny. I feel like we're so scared to do something que parezca canceling someone porque it has been so prominent in our culture y ha recibido muchas críticas, pero I don't think we have the power to do that but just by criticizing one thing that he's doing and that he has the absolute power to change. Es lo mismo como, I hate to bring her up again, pero como Taylor Swift, que decía que no tenía el poder de endosar a alguien porque tenía como, like, ¿están realmente atados de mano or they just don't, they want to avoid controversy and they want to keep their, all their contracts intact? Like, surprise, taking stands and positions in favor of your gente may have consequences, pero ¿cuántas consecuencias no enfrenta la gente al día a día que te apoya y te presta de su dinero y de su tiempo? O sea, la actriz que hablamos la vez pasada, Melissa, creo, that she's Latina.
Barrera.
Melissa Barrera perdió la película and like, I've seen her interviews after and she's so, está muy clara why she did that y que no se acaba su carrera y que tiene una posición de privilegio todavía en la sociedad. So imagínate una actriz de ese nivel comparando con Bad Bunny, like, he's gonna be fine si cancela este contrato y pierde unos millones de dólares porque lo canceló a destiempo o whatever. Igual que aquella would also be fine. So I don't think we have the power to cancel billionaires. Like, cuando hablamos de cancelación, like, calling in people in our communities es muy distinto a tu vecino decirle, hey, no quiero que esto trascienda a, por ejemplo, un conflicto legal, but let's talk about this problem that we're having, and I'm calling you in. I'm not going to call you out and use institutions and power to para perseguirte, pero with artists, billionaires, hay que usar esas herramientas, and it's fine. They'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. You said millionaire problems.
Yes.
So Bad Bunny's private investigators, if you're listening, we literally named this podcast El Calentón. So welcome to El Calentón. ¿Qué vas a decir, Jorge?
Bad Bunny, if you're listening, bienvenido al Calentón, compa. I mean, I would say that, you know, our intention, the goal of this campaign is not to boycott him. We're not telling his fans not to go to his concerts, right? We're not canceling him out. I think for us, it's like, look, we love you. We love your music. We love how you're, you know, putting reggaeton and Latino cultures and communities on the map everywhere in the world. And because we love you so much, we want you to do better, right? So if you no sabías que your team is, you know, whoever, you know, is making decisions to have these contracts with Global X, we want you to cancel them as soon as possible. That's es todo, you know?
If anything, we're telling the fans to go to the concert and bring a pancarta or something that says cancel Global X. So if anything, we're just saying join the campaign and the demand because if you care for Bad Bunny, you don't want him like haciendo negocios with this type of people. Like, no. So go to the concert or just tag him in our post or just DM him about it and let's just bring this forward to him y con la esperanza de que lo cancele.
Yes.
Y decir algo, compas, es mejor que quedarnos callados, right? And you never know. In this world of social media, tal vez si no se escucha. And also just to kind of subrayar and bring back that at the end of the day, you know, this campaign is trying to talk to Bad Bunny, but the problem at the end of the day is this big industry, right, that runs on and profits off of the policing and deportation of our people. And so we believe that Bad Bunny actually does have social capital, power, money, la poderosa, the signature to sign off and say, actually, this isn't right, and I can use my position to generate a change.
For sure.
Ya la bola en tu cancha.
Sí, sí, sí. Pero lo bueno pues que, you know, we're getting a lot of, you know, engagement, right? Folks, that means folks are paying attention. That means folks, you know, are going to his concert, you know? It might be feeling a certain way. Pero so this is also calling to his fans, like, join the campaign, you know? Do videos, tag and post, you know? Go to the concerts and bring your pancartas, you know?
Yes.
Para que se dé cuenta de que esto no está bien.
Because when he takes your money, you know, just remember.
Yeah, and these tickets are not like $50, $100,
so
right? These are a few hundred dollars. So people are working hard for their money. And, you know, a lot of his fans are Latino, you know, in the U.S. probably also immigrant or have immigrant family members and friends. And so, you know, this is, you know, it's impacting all of us. And I think, you know, we're playing our role as fans and concert goers. And so now we want him to play a role as an artist, you know?
Yes. So join La Resistencia's campaign, join the call to action, ask Bad Bunny to end his contract with Global X, and follow La Resistencia on Instagram and Twitter. It's at La Resistencia NW. Thank you for joining us. Esto ha estado super bueno hoy.
It was lovely to be here with everybody. Y como nos dice Ali, que entren en posiciones. We all have a role to play. And today, we thank you for joining this episode of El Calentón Podcast. We'll be back with more, so let us know if you have anything you'd like us to cover in future episodes. And tell your friends, tell your tías, tell your abuelitas, tell other organizers, family, friends, to consider listening to El Calentón and to consider joining our Casita Política here at Mi Gente if you haven't already. So we'll see you next time for our next episode, our next edition of El Calentón. Y no dejes que se apague.
Ay. Ooh, I love that. Bye, y'all.